B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Chicago just got jammed up with trying to be a kingpin. Are you for real?
Yes.
Cats are getting jammed up over joints and you go get 157 pounds?
It's a lot of weed.
It's a lot of weed.
By the way, Trey, we did ask the question. What are you, who needs 157 pounds of marijuana? And as they're pointing out many times on Twitch, of all places, who doesn't need 157 pounds?
I mean, you know. But I mean,
stay off the weed.
I mean, he's trying to supply Cleveland. I mean, for real, dude, like, what are you doing?
That's a city's worth of weed.
157 pounds. Yeah, no, it's totally normal. There's nothing
they
going
were probably
on
like 5 miles away, but and the drug sniffing dog was already going crazy.
Hey, him right there, the big black dude. Yeah, we're gonna go get him. Put the dogs around that car there. Yeah, he's trying to come in here with a minivan.
Here's what I don't understand.
Oh, my God.
I understand the NFL is not making it any easier for players. It seems like every other league has kind of been like, yeah, we're cool. But the NFL has kind of been like, yeah, it's still the evil and all that stuff. And I'm not trying to treat it like it's some kind of medical drug or miracle drug, but if it's becoming more accepted universally in the United States, why would you, for lack of a better term, like shoot yourself in the foot by getting that much of it south of the border?
I don't know.
Like, that's just dumb.
Extremely dumb.
And he just made $7 million this past season?
He just made $7 million this
past season. Second pick of the draft?
Second pick of the draft.
Yeah, that's not a smart move there, Greg.
No, not at all.
And there was, by the way, there was another guy who was trying to make it back into the NFL that was with him.
Yeah.
Quan Bray.
Yeah.
Quan?
They went to Auburn together.
Quan, I believe. Quan Bray. Who was that? Is the Alouettes? The who's the team in the CFL?
Montreal Alouettes.
Let me
see how he looked.
He's a free agent.
What position did he play?
Wide receiver. I think he's wide receiver. Okay.
But they rented a Tahoe in Los Angeles and arranged for an Uber driver to take them to Louisiana.
Am I right?
Wait, what?
They rented a Tahoe in Los Angeles on Sunday and had arranged for an Uber driver to drive him and Bray to Louisiana. When the trio reached El Paso, Robinson instructed Bray to begin driving.
So confusing.
According to the complaint, when they approached the Sierra Blanca checkpoint, Robinson asked the Uber driver to claim the marijuana, but they reportedly refused.
Yeah, he was like, no.
Dude, that's yours.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
He's driving, so it's his.
They did this to an Uber driver?
Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah. My God.
The jail is like, come on in.
Dude, it's just a little bit. Just say it's yours.
157 pounds of weed. You totally look normal here.
You say this is your weed or you're getting a one star. That's how that worked.
You got an Uber driver.
Oh, my God.
They got an Uber driver.
Uber driver.
They came from Mexico?
They came from Los Angeles. They were right at the border of the Mexican-Texas. They were right at the Mexican-Texas border.
Okay. So they were coming from? They were going
into Mexico? They were from Los Angeles. They say they were going to Louisiana, but for some reason they were right at the border of Mexico and El Paso, Texas.
So they were coming from L.A.?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the smartest crime I've ever heard.
No. To all the kids out there, don't be an idiot. That's advice my dad gave me when I was a very young boy. Don't be an idiot.
Hey, Uber drivers, if somebody asks you to go from L.A. to Louisiana, you might want to pass.
This is a nice little chunk of change.
What's that in the back seat, guys? No.
And there's no way it doesn't smell.
It's either marijuana or a human being.
Yeah.
Like, what do you? Neither one of those are good things for you if you're an Uber driver.
157 pounds, and you coming from L.A. and you go down near the border.
Yeah, if you're going to Louisiana, I think I would have stayed north.
Yeah, I think I would have stayed in the center of the state a little bit more, we can cut a couple hours off our time.
A lot of life lessons.
That's the trip right here.
Yeah. A lot of life lessons in those last couple of minutes right there.
What's that dog doing over there?
610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. The Greg Robinson story is one of the dumbest I've heard in quite some time. On a totally different note of dumbness, you never had to take part in your own negotiations, right, Trey? Your agent kind of just relayed stuff to you?
Yeah, I hired an agent. Let them have at it.
So you're an all-pro left tackle, right? You made, three Pro Bowls in your life? So that's not bad. Imagine for a second, though, that you're renowned as maybe the best left tackle in all the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to, the Eagles, they want to tell you why you're not deserving of a better deal.
Hmm.
That's what's going to happen today with JT Realmuto.
Are they gonna go in, you think they're going to go in there and tell him, like, hey, you don't deserve this?
That's what that's what an arbitration is. Now, now I don't want to be overdramatic in the idea that it's literally like a mudslinging type of thing. It's not that. It's not muckraking or anything like that. This is just, it's business. And JT Realmuto understands that. And Joe Girardi got into it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That he, no matter what, he's not going to let this affect his game. Joe Girardi, addressing the media yesterday, talked about JT Realmuto going into the arbitration hearing, which is today with JT versus the Phillies.
I think he understands that it's a business. You know, I always worry about players when they go to the hearings because one side's arguing everything great about the player and why he should make this. The other side's trying to keep it down. And, you know, if it gets to that, I'll sit down and talk to him. But I think he's a smart enough man and he understands that, okay, this is 1 year and then I'm a free agent and I'm not going to let this get in the way of my playing. I need to have a really good year.
Not going to let it be a distraction. It's never a good thing to sit there and let your employer basically point out all the things you don't do well. Even if you know and your employer has already said you're the best catcher in baseball, it does not make you feel good. I know that I think he's hands down the best catcher in baseball.
Yes.
I mean, Gary Sanchez with the Giants is a bit of a bomber. Like, he can hit 30-plus home runs, but he hits 230. You know what I mean? And his on-base percentage isn't off the charts by any means. But defensively, nobody can touch what JT Realmuto has been able
not
to do.
Not even close. Not,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, what did I say?
Gary Sanchez.
Giants. Oh, sorry, the Yankees, yeah. Gary, like, I don't think it's really even a question. And you want to take him to arbitration over $2.5 million.
So, like, over that $2.5 million, are they going to be like, well, Gary Sanchez with runners in scoring position actually has an on-base percentage of .412, and you're only .389, JT, so therefore, you don't get the $2.5 million. Like, is that, like, it's so ludicrous.
They avoided this, I believe, last year with Aaron Nola. By giving him a bargain deal.
Yeah, which is really a bargain.
Scott Kingery and Aaron Nola could be the best two team-friendly deals in all of sports right now. And you're arguing about $2.5 million with JT Realmuto, all because you weren't able to work out a long-term deal before the arbitration date came to file.
Yeah, and making him fly to the other side of the country, leave camp, which I'm sure he doesn't want to do because the guy's a baseball junkie.
Yeah.
To argue against him? Like, I know it's part of the process, and I know the sky isn't falling, but my Lord, is it dumb.
Did he already say that he was like, hey, man, all right, yeah, I want the 12, but I'm cool with the 10. It's
yeah.
All right.
He said, like, either way, I'm going to make a lot of money. Like, he's got a great perspective on this whole thing.
Yeah, I said yesterday, I really wish that the Phillies had that same perspective.
Exactly.
Like, oh, if it's the 10, if it's the 12 and a half, because then he'd be paid and this would be over.
Yeah. I want this guy here for a decade.
Yeah.
He sold bamboo plants last year. Man, go ahead, get that man $2.5 million, man. Make the money. Get the money out the bamboo plants, man.
Yeah, Brad Miller was the guy with the bamboo.
I know.
And I will say right now that I still have my bamboo plant flourishing in my kitchen.
Oh, it's doing well?
Oh, it's doing great.
That's awesome. He signed somewhere recently.
It's presenting beautifully. I think with the Giants.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think he actually did.
Gabe got him?
I think Gabe did get him, yeah. Gabe brought
and
it out
Drew
there.
Smiley.
Yeah, he got Drew Smiley. Yeah, Drew. The band is back together. That's all. Yeah, right. Thank you. The band's back together in San Francisco. So here's the other part of this that we got to look at. He's also going to be one of the leaders on the team. I mean, I think it's Bryce Harper, and then I think it's everybody else. But JT Realmuto is one of those guys that he already knows how to command your pitchers. And you're going to need every ounce of him to help out this pitching staff going forward. And you have guys like Reese Hoskins, who I think is a natural leader, but he's got his own problems. Like, he's an inconsistent player. JT Realmuto is an extremely consistent player. Career highs in home runs last year. Career high, I believe, in batting average as well as RBIs. So for me, I don't think it's a question of whether or not you should even be having this conversation with him. I don't know how they let it get to this point where you weren't able to work out a long-term deal before you had to file for the arbitration. And that's what really sticks in my crawl with a team that is, you know, they got the money, man. They got all the money in the world.
And I think it comes down to whether or not they want to go over that luxury tax. And $2.5 million shouldn't be something that really deters you from that. And Matt Klentak, I'll give him credit. A week ago when he addressed the media, he said that that's a number that does not stare him down. And he's not, that's not a number he thinks about. He knows that his owner, he says that he knows his owner will go over that if it comes down to it. Well, when you're when there's a quarrel over $2.5 million, it doesn't exactly give you confident that, to make you confident that that's a true statement. Like, it makes you think, well, wait a minute. If they're going to argue over $2.5 million, then yeah, that luxury tax is very much looked at as a salary cap. And you don't want a baseball team that says they're willing to spend, you know, affluently. You don't want it looked at as that hard cap, but yet that's how they look at it. If you're arguing about $2.5 million, that number's a real number.
Yeah, that's a hard cap. You're exactly right.
So to me, I'm kind of done with it, but. Today's the day. We'll find out what's going on.
I hope he gets his $2.5 million.
We're all rooting for it.
How do you argue against this guy?
If you've already called him the best catcher in baseball.
Like, why is it at an arbitration?
Just as they have been saying on our Twitch, as they've been saying on our Twitter as well, pay the man his money.
John Middleton was just on the Forbes list of richest Americans. Pay the man his money.
You just go in there and you're like, all right, man, you know what? I'm sorry we even had to come out here for all this. Here's your $2.5 million. All right, let's get on back.
Does he get to, he gets to charge the flight to Phoenix to the Phillies, right?
Yeah, I was thinking of that, too. Like, who gets the room and board bill for the hotel?
Yeah, who's picking up the hotel bill?
Yeah, who does pay for that?
Like, it's, His first class on the Phillies?
I wouldn't be surprised with the Players Association that the MLB pays for it.
Yeah, they might, because they want JT Realmuto to get the most amount of money possible for everybody else in the future.
No, I'm saying that MLB pays for it. Like, with the way the Players Association has MLB
well, the union wants him to get the highest amount so that future generations, you know, therefore are meeting JT Realmuto's standards. So it's very possible they do.
How would you like to be his agent or the Players Union? It's like, what do you mean you don't care if it's 10 million or 12? Yeah. It matters to everybody else. JT Realmuto.
Stupid.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, some more NFL news. Nothing to do with marijuana, but more NFL news. Coming up, 8 o'clock, Jimmy Kemsky will join us from PhillyVoice.com. 9 o'clock, our friend Mark Jackson will join us to talk some 76ers. Sixers pre- and post-game analyst, former Sixer himself, Mark Jackson.
By the way, alleged street value of the weed?
Yeah.
Between $300,000 and
$500,000. That's it?
Why would you do that?
Are you serious? That's it?
That's what somebody texted me that they read, yeah.
Wow.
That's so dumb. You just made $7 million.
That's a side job.
It's a hell of a side hustle.
You just went out there. You just threw away your career for $300,000.
I don't think I've ever seen Trey laugh that hard.
I'm worried. Are you all right?
Stupid. Oh, man. Just so you can say, dog, I got all the weed. Dog, I got all the weed. Y'all gonna holler at your boy. I got all the weed.
Wow.
Is he in there bagging it up? He got a scale? What is he doing?
Sam, real quick, what's the final? Where's our Twitter poll at so far with JT Realmuto and the good people of Philadelphia in terms of choosing between JT and the Phils?
Yeah, today we asked, whose side are you on, JT Realmuto's or the Phillies? And then we did add, pick a side, you coward. And we have two options, obviously, JT or the Phillies. 94% still say JT Realmuto.
Okay. All right.
So it's remaining consistent.
If we get it to 95, I'll be a happy man. That's all I'll say.
I know. Didn't Jamie say 94?
He did say 94. And I was like, why is he a hater? I want 95. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 7:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice. And I feel like Alshon Jeffrey has a target on his back. And there's the venom and the red stream from Superman's eyes. You know what I'm talking about, Trey?
from the fans of the eyes of the fans right to the bullseye on the back of Alshon Jeffrey. And that's because of the, as our friend Jimmy Kemsky termed it, he coined the term, the Alshonimus remarks made. And Carson took it in stride, said he loves that guy and they have fun together and all that stuff. Whatever. But I really think that most of the fans, especially because a guy like Nelson Agholor isn't going to be around after this year, they want to see a match go to, basically light the fire and blow it up with the receiving core of the Eagles. DeSean Jackson, if he can come back healthy, it seems like nobody's confident he can stay healthy for even 13 or 14 games in another season, another year older. So people aren't exactly holding out hope for him right now. But I think the number one guy, after knowing that Nelson Agholor isn't going to be returning next year, is what they do with Alshon Jeffrey. $26 million is what they would be taking a hit over the next 2 years if they do move on from him. Jimmy Kemsky points out in his latest article on Philly Voice that if the Eagles could cut Alshon Jeffrey with almost no penalty, it would be done already.
Yeah,
and I think we all agree at that. I think that the Eagles' number one priority this offseason should be helping out their quarterback and getting him a more consistent target. So you aren't relying on practice squad guys in the offseason. I think they have to redo their secondary. And this, I'm saying this, Trey, understanding that there's a lot of work that has to be done here. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, middle linebacker, Nigel Bradham's not here anymore, so they already moved on from him, saved themselves $4.5 million worth of cap. They're going to have a whole secondary to more or less rework. Roddy McLeod, Malcolm Jenkins, Jalen Mills, what they do there, Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones. Basically, he's still under contract, but they have a lot of room right now, a lot of people that they got to worry about filling those holes this offseason. But number one, as far as I'm concerned with the Eagles, has to be getting Carson Wentz a legitimate weapon.
Absolutely.
That's why when we talked about it yesterday in the Stephon Diggs and Darius Slay rumors that are out there and whether or not the Eagles will go after them, I go Diggs over Slay. And I think we all agreed on that yesterday. But you have to have somebody in here that's going to help out your quarterback. Otherwise, you're going to be worried about him trying to extend plays, him trying to do too much, maybe making a bonehead play or two that might get him injured. But if you have him dropping back and consistently throwing to a target he knows he can trust, that's not just a tight end, but a wide receiver, I think that's where you can feel a lot more secure about the future of not just Carson Wentz, but the entire Eagles roster. That's my number one priority right now. Jimmy Kemsky's going to help us figure that out coming up at the top of the hour. But Alshon Jeffrey is a guy I think most Eagles fans say, hey, find a way to work it out. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Would you move on from him knowing the penalty that you'd take on?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. Yeah, Trey said it like that, and I was just like, yeah, I would. I not that quickly, but so your cap, you have 41 free now or 40 free now.
40 free now.
And if you get rid of them, it'll take you down to 31 free.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a nice chunk of change, as they say.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Trey. I got to eat that. And Jamie, I think you're on the other side before. You said you just can't do that.
I don't think it would affect the $40 million because his number's already accounted for. Like, he's fully guaranteed. So I don't think you're not losing any of your available money to spend. What I would do is just have the adult conversation with him. Look, dude, here's the deal. We're going to put you on the IR. You're going to get fully paid. You're not going to be around the team here for a little while. And, you know, maybe we'll address it down the line. But I just think $10 million to lose on that cap number when you can just put them on IR, why cut them when you could just save yourself $10 million?
All right, so then the other idea is...
Because you got a lot of holes to fill.
But the other idea is, can you trade them?
Nah, that's going to be near impossible.
Right? I know somebody suggested it yesterday because it seems like an obvious thing. If you want a better wide receiver and you have a wide receiver you want to get rid of, why not trade him to the Vikings?
Jimmy brings up in his story, like, remember Brock Osweiler? The Texans were so desperate to move on from sent Cleveland... Basically, assets, picked up some of his money and moved on from him. So you'd have to give up something to potentially even move on from an Alshon. I just think it's near impossible.
Why is it that this gets botched so badly in 2 years? I mean, really, a Super Bowl champion, a guy that played well.
One of the most memorable catches in Eagles history.
How is it that it became this bad this fast with the Eagles and Alshon Jeffrey? How is that even remotely possible?
Don't criticize your quarterback to the national media.
But why would you, like, even if you're Alshon Jeffrey, why is that the answer to anything?
I don't know.
Like, why? How is that the way we handle
it? That type of guy. You know what I mean? Like, from the outside looking in, and I know somebody that knows him very well, everybody says he's a great dude. And it's just maybe he regrets ever talking to Jacina. I'm sure he does at this point.
Absolutely.
But it was a strange way to handle it.
I don't get how a guy that does seem so jovial when you talk to him.
I mean,
I told the story on the air after the first day of mini camp. He was talking about how he and the offense kicked the defense's ass that day. Mm-hmm. And he was saying it with some stank on it. Like, he was having fun.
Yeah.
But
when I met him in Whole Foods, he was cool as hell.
Oh, yeah, what aisle?
It was over by the cheese.
Oh, the cheese? Yeah. No, snobs. Yeah. I don't go there. I don't even attempt to go there.
Section. Come on.
It is. It's phenomenal. but I just don't get it. I don't get how this could have fallen so quickly in such a short amount of time, all because he wanted to talk behind his quarterback's back, allegedly. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still a talented wide receiver. He had one really bad game last year with three drops against was it Seattle? I don't get it.
So Jimmy in his story, and we'll talk more about it, it would be the largest dead cap hit in NFL history by $5 million.
Wow.
That's why I don't think they just cut him. Antonio Brown was the previous high, $21 million Pittsburgh paid him to just go away. Peyton Manning had a $19.3 million hit. Ryan Tannehill, 18, Jamarcus Russell, 17, Nnamdi Asomugha, 17, and Blake Bortles, 16. So he would blow those numbers out of the water. That's why I just don't think it's going to happen.
But you just sit him, you have him wherever he is. Hey, just don't come around the team.
Yep. Hey, dude, sorry, you're on IR. Stay away from everybody.
But do you think he wants to play? Like, I think the guy wants to play.
But he might not even be ready for the open. He's going to miss
because of Liz Frank?
Yeah, it's a 9-month injury, they're saying, so... He's not even. He might be ready week one, but he's going to miss all of training camp, all the OTAs, all that stuff. So he's probably going to start on the PUP list regardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's weird. It's going to be fascinating to see how they handle it.
And I think the most important thing is that you're going to have to protect Carson's mindset over everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have to start, we got to pull some of these weeds.
Hey, I as long as they get a substantial upgrade at the wide receiver position for Carson Wentz, I think that helps this team tremendously. I think it might sound obvious, but it seems like it's been a very difficult task. It should be easy. Hey, get a talented wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You had to rely on a practice squad guy to turn things around. A guy that would have averaged, if he stayed with his average, would have had 75 catches. That's what he would have projected. If he started week one, mm-hmm. Greg Ward would have had 75 catches this year. That's pretty damn good for a practice squad player to have that much of an impact. And then you have a second round pick in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Hey, you hit a home run with your first second round pick in Miles Sanders. And then your next one, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, awful rookie year.
Yeah.
And he looked like a guy that was just lost. Looked like he was lost this year. It shouldn't be that hard to just get a guy in here to help out Carson. You tried a veteran in DeSean Jackson. He's hurt. It seems like nobody's confident he can play, like I said, a 14-game season even. Alshon Jeffrey, you don't know what you're going to do with him going forward. So who's your guy? Nelson Agholor is gone. Not that anybody was looking for him to have some kind of breakout year. But what do you do next? In a wide receiver-heavy draft, what do you do next? Do you go out and do you get Stephon Diggs, or do you go and really roll the dice again with... And it shouldn't be rolling the dice with anybody else's front office, but with ours, it seems to really have an issue with drafting a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do in that scenario? Do you rely... You almost have to protect yourself,
both.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Did you see the Twitter account, Vegas Gambling Steam, the pregame
team? Oh, what are they doing now?
The one that had Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and LeBron and all that, yeah.
Last night, source, Eagles and Raiders very interested in Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs if he becomes available on the trade market.
That's all we need to know.
So, I don't think it's going to prevent them from doing anything at the wide receiver position.
This is the situation where you say, all right, Howie, go do it. This is the you want to draft...
Probably two wide receivers.
It wouldn't surprise me if they drafted.
Even if I got Diggs, even if I got Diggs, I would use that 21st pick for a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Also,
yes,
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah. So
if you're looking at the odds of taking a wide receiver in the draft, I'd say they're at 100%. There's a chance that that happens, even if they do go out there and Howie makes some kind of magic happen with moving on from Alshon Jeffrey somehow magically, and then also maybe making a trade for Stephon Diggs. This is the thing that I was talking about yesterday, where Howie more or less, bottom line, sat on his hands last year before the deadline, threw Clowney and Ramsey and all the trade, Minka Fitzpatrick, all the guys that got, Emmanuel Sanders is a wide receiver, all the trades that got done, you came away with Jannard Avery. Where's helping out your quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And you kept a guy on the practice squad that would have been your best wide receiver last year.
Yeah, and when you get ready to look at wide receivers, you have to look at their 40 times and you say, you know what? If he and JP raced, would I almost put my money on JP?
Mm. And if that's the case,
you move on to somebody else. JP ran a 4.8 40.
Oh, okay. It was a 4.8 40. Yeah. Yesterday we were saying around like a 4.7. Yeah, 4.6 40. Because we got brought up because of T. Higgins out of Clemson ran a 4.7 5 40.
Coming out
of high school.
JP is on his heels. I can't. No, that's not good.
Well, he was a tight end at one point.
I need somebody else.
Yeah. Let's get to our man Jordan Westchester. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Jordan.
So I totally agree with you guys. You know, listen. In the draft, I'm all about drafting, the best available. You know, that's what I go for when you're drafting. I think it's the best strategy. But in this case, they have no choice but to take a wide receiver with that first pick. I don't care if they get I don't think Diggs is going to become available, to be honest with you. If he does, we can get him. That's great. But with that pick, it is absolutely the most important need on this team right now. They have to take a receiver at that spot. There's no choice.
Mm. No, that's the first round pick has to be a wideout. I mean, look, depending on how the draft falls, obviously all the other extenuating circumstances, but you need to take the best wide receiver on the board at that point.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, we'll see how he does, but I think he's handcuffed into doing that. But hey, I really want to talk to you guys about the Sixers. I don't know what it is with the up and downs of the first half. Bob, I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but I am excited for like the season to start back up again after this break. I don't know, you know, I just think this team still has so much potential, and if Ben and Joel and the team's healthy and they can come together and do what they did last year, I think we still have a shot at it with our bench now. You know, I think the bench additions were really important. So, you know, I don't know if you guys are excited as I am, but I'm ready for the second half of the season to get going now.
Yeah, Jordan, I swear, I said it to Jamie earlier, I feel like it's the beginning of the season. Like, I have that type of excitement for these final 27 games. I think they may have found something with moving Horford to the bench, and I'm not just saying off of the one game, but I think you might really have something as far as spacing goes there. And then the different things that you have coming off the bench. I love that Korkmaz had fresh legs going into the All-Star game for the first year that he's getting significant minutes. I think Thibel will be refreshed with this break. I'm really looking forward to these last 27 games. So much so that I'm looking for like a 22-5 run.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way, Bob. The exact same. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for tonight to see what they can do coming out of this break, and we'll see what the second half holds, fellas.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. Appreciate it, man. Right. That is 20. What was it? 20. What was that again?
22-5.
22-5.
Well, you got 27 left. 14 at home, 13 on the road. All right, you're 25-2 at home. I think this rejuvenation of the lineup is going to carry over. I think we are going to see that little love fest. I think this team thrives, as we talked about before, on little themes. And I think that you have two themes that they can ride on now. One being, you know, the new lineup and the new rotation and all. And two being that I think Ben and Joe are out to prove, like, we can, A, get along, and, B, play together.
Yeah, I looked at it real quick this morning, and they're probably only going to be underdogs in three of those 27 games.
Two games remaining against the Milwaukee Bucks. One is this Saturday.
One's at home. Yeah, but one's at home. So I'm assuming that they'll probably be, like, a half point or point favorite at home. The two in L.A., the Clippers and Lakers, they'll probably be dogs. Mm-hmm. And the one in Milwaukee, they'll be a dog. Other than that, I mean, the Rockets come in, the Raptors come in, and...
But it's here. Like, you're not going to not be favored here. I mean, you're 25-2 here.
So, yeah. I mean, 22-5 is... It sounds lofty, but, like, 20-7 should be, at worst, your goal.
All right. They're on the road. But think about... They have a four-game West Coast trip.
Right.
So they have... But just to look at some of the road games.
Kings and Warriors.
Right.
So you better handle those.
Sure, and you took two of the Warriors' better players, including their leading scorer, one of their starters, and Glenn Robinson the third. So they got at Milwaukee, and then at L.A. for the two L.A. teams, at the Clippers, at the Lakers, at Sacramento, at Golden State, like you just mentioned, Jamie. And then a game on the road against the Bulls and Minnesota, and a game on the road against the Wizards, whatever, San Antonio. You should be able to take care of your business.
Keyword, should.
But this is where you want to talk about 22-5. You want to talk about a team that has improved drastically on the road. So will this one shakeup in their starting lineup be exactly what they need on the road?
Yeah, I know. It's a difficult. But look, this is one of the most talented teams in the league. No matter how you break it down, they are. And whether it's the rejuvenation of a starting lineup by putting Horford on the bench, whatever it may be. But I firmly believe you can relate to these guys by making it a college basketball situation. Look, are you one of the top four or five teams in the NBA, or if you want to relate it to college, in the country? Yes. 27 games, you can go a season going 22-5. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Like, I would break it down just like that. Look, put yourself in college again, 27-game season to get ready for the tournament. Win 22 of those. Be one of the top five teams, four teams in the country. Do that. I don't think it's out of reach for this team. I really do think they could go 22-5 in these last 27.
I'm not rooting against it.
I hear you, and the evidence is against me, obviously, because they're 9-19 on the road.
Mm-hmm. It's 25 games over 500 on the road, or excuse me, at home, or 22 games over 500, and then 10 games under 500 on the road.
It's maddening.
What the hell?
Yeah,
it's all about how the big fella comes back.
Well, that's where the love fest comes in.
But even if with his energy. When he comes back on that court, is he going to be having that same fire?
Keep that same energy?
Yeah, keep that same energy. You know? Because, everything was clicking before you went on the break. You know, sometimes when you take that break, the chemistry kind of fizzles out a little bit. So it's hoping that they come back and it's as sharp as it was when they left.
I want to see a motivation, not from the two leaders, from Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris, but I want to see a motivation from Ben Simmons to Joel Embiid. Because we all know that he's the one that tends to lag. He's the one that tends to lose motivation. That's why he's got to find these really weird ways to motivate himself. If that comes from within his own roster, if he can feed off of Ben's energy that he always has throughout the game, I feel like that would be a much better version of Joel Embiid. If he doesn't have to go to the social media aspect and kind of reach for it in that regard. And look, hey, whatever gets you going, as we said 2 weeks ago, but if this kind of little love affair all of a sudden with him and Ben can start to add to his own motivation, then I'd much rather have that.
Yeah.
Because then guess what? If Ben is allowing Joel Embiid to feed off of him, then I think that energy between those two will be raised even higher. Like, I feel like that's more of an edge than goading fans or even trash-talking another opponent.
And then it comes into the gym every day. Like I talked about last week, you know, you can get these motivating factors that makes you play up for this game or up for that game, or you get in a fight in the middle of the game and then you go block a shot, so you're motivated for a play. Well, what's motivating you every day at practice?
Right.
So, like, if it is coming from a Ben Simmons, well, then it's in the gym with you, and it doesn't have to be this outside source. So I agree with you, Mark. If you can draw it from Ben Simmons, man, then it's in the gym every day for Joel Embiid.
And the other part of motivate, like I've said before that Ben just wants to play basketball, and Joe seems like he wants to put on a show and play basketball, right? He's more of the Wesley Snipes type in White Man Can't Jump. But if one teammate is starting to outshine you a little bit more and you're supposed to be the MVP candidate, you're supposed to be the starter in the All-Star game as he was and played well, I mean, that's got to be some motivation right there, because you don't want to be the guy that's not picking up the slack when everyone else seems like they're hitting their stride. You don't want to be the guy holding everybody else down.
You want some motivation? How about you go get me my season over? 52.5 wins. Let's go. It's still alive here, gents.
I feel like, you know what? Everything else we said was wrong.
Yeah.
Joe, concentrate on Jamie's
gambling. I know you're a big listener. Let's go. I got a bet to win here. Go get it for me, big man.
610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll get an update on our Twitter poll. 8 o'clock, top of the hour, we'll talk to Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice and see what we can do with this whole Alshon debacle and what happens and what comes of Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs being possibly moved on by the Minnesota Vikings. Time of the Fanatic is 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So the reason I would be optimistic about maybe that 22-5 record you were talking about, Bob, is that you do have a much different roster. It's two players being added to the roster, but you think about it, Alec Burks and then Glenn Robinson III. Glenn Robinson III most likely becomes your starting three. Tobias Harris goes more of that power forward position.
Which is where he's better. He's suited.
Offensively, especially.
Offensively, yes.
He's a modern day power forward.
Yes.
You know, 10 years ago, he's your solid three.
And he's not going to draw the other team's best defender anymore at the three. So it frees him up. Glenn Robinson's better at movement.
Right.
It just makes a lot of sense.
And look, you can file it under what's he going to say. But when we talked to him last week, he said that he's very comfortable playing that power forward position because that's where he's played the majority of his career. So he'll go back to that role. Glenn Robinson III will be your starting three most likely. But then you have a bench. Your bench.
Finally a good bench.
It's like, I got to see it come to fruition, but potential a great bench. When you think about it, Alec Burks can score. In all three phases of the game, offensively, mm-hmm. right? He can shoot the three. He can drive. He has a mid-range game. The guy can do it. Then you have Al Horford coming off the bench. Matisse Thybulle coming off the bench. And Furkan Korkmaz.
Yeah. I don't need to see Howell Neto anymore. I don't need to see any of those guys. I don't even need to see Mike Scott. Those nine, that's your rotation. Run with it and give them those games to get ready for the playoffs.
So it's not even a matter of Ben and Joe, and yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. They're still starters on this team. Jeez, all stars. But it's really going to become a matter of having that second unit be able to come into a game and take over. You're losing a substantial amount, but these guys aren't guys that are going to let the game lag behind as you saw last year, especially in the playoffs. You have a solid bench that has great potential to score the basketball and still give you some great defense.
And, you know, I just think the return of, besides the bench, and you're right on all that, Mark, the return of a healthy Josh Richardson is huge. I don't think we've even seen a little bit of what this guy can do. Mm. I mean, I really think this is a solid, clutch, score off the dribble, hit open jumper type of guy that this team sorely needs, and we've barely seen it this year.
The image that has been on repeat in my brain is him crossing over Kawhi Leonard, getting the N1. Like, that has been
He took
on
over
repeat.
At the end of that game, yeah.
He really did. You want to talk about energy, you want to talk about a spark, he was certainly that guy. AJ in West
Plus
Philly.
Personal record best last night bowling. So he's got good vibes going into the final third. He bowled a 189.
Oh, did he now?
That's pretty good.
What's your high bowling? I know what mine is.
I want to say like 175-ish, something like that.
No BS. Being real, I think 183.
Okay. I had a 217 one time.
Take that, Josh Richardson. 217, by the way.
We used to bowl a lot. We had a bowling alley right behind me. 217. I saved the score sheet for it because back then you had to do it manually.
Yeah. Well, it runs in your genes with Butch, right?
Yeah, but my mom was a really good bowler.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
We buried her with her bowling shoes.
On?
No, not on, but it's funny. This is a true story. She was pregnant with me and bowling. She dropped a bowling ball when she was taking it on her foot. It probably broke her last toe, but back then, like, you know, they didn't go to high. She cut a hole in her bowling shoes so that her swollen toe could stick out and kept bowling. She didn't, you know, we were real poor growing up. She didn't buy a new pair of bowling shoes. So she bowled with this for like 10 more years with this bowling shoe that had the hole cut out of it.
Pour some Windex on it, walk it off.
So we let her keep them
forever.
Yeah, so she's got the bowling shoes.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful story.
Yeah, it was in her obituary, the story of her bowling shoes.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah, Eddie Barkowitz wrote her obituary.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Oh,
yeah.
That is pretty awesome. Let's get to it. It was fun. AJ, West Philly, what's up, buddy?
What's up, morning show?
Yo, bud.
Hey, I got to tell Trey Thomas I'm loving those reads on those advertisements. He got me ready to go to the Donuts right now. And I'll never shoot it.
It was organic, man.
Yeah.
It was natural and organic. It was beautiful.
Do you write them yourself, Trey, or do they write the script for you?
Sometimes it's a little bit of mix.
You know what, AJ? I'll answer that question. I will say that the company usually makes a suggestion, yeah. And Trey's like, let's take that up a notch or five.
Yeah.
Yes. I can tell. And I'm glad you're talking about six.
Oh, AJ. Oh, you broke up for a second. There you are.
Yeah, I'm glad y'all was talking about the Sixers because that nine-man rotation, it was natural for anybody to see it. The fans should be excited. It's like it is like a different team. And peep this. Korkmaz and Burks and Robinson is on one-year contracts. Elton Brand should be able to draft a four-year senior to fit those roles, and all of our other players are on five-year contracts. We can have this same team for the next 4 or 5 years, fellas. Straight.
Josh Richardson's young enough. Tobias Harris is young enough. Al Horford, not so much. Mm-hmm. But, you got some young
Kevin
guys.
McHale.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, put him on how Kevin McHale played on the bench. I wasn't old enough to see it, but they told me McHale came off the bench for Boston and they was winning championships. That could be Al Horford role. Now, look, I want to get into Alshon Jeffrey.
All right.
Because I think every football player will want to be in his position. He can talk trash. And, look, Carson Wentz was throwing the ball erratic. He wasn't the leader he was at the end of this season a couple seasons ago. So Alshon could have said his stuff better, but he said it, and they can't cut him. $26 million a dead cap. I think we shouldn't cut our nose off to spite our face. We should either keep this guy or Howie Roseman got to pull out some magic. But I'm not mad at Alshon Jeffrey for saying what he said because he got the security of his contract, and the football team can't just do whatever they want to do like they're going to do with Malcolm Jenkins and just throw him away like a piece of trash. They can't do that for him.
Well, I don't think they're going to throw away Malcolm Jenkins like a piece of trash. I think they're going to try to work something out. But what would you do for Malcolm Jenkins? What deal would you do?
Well, I would give that man a fair contract.
What's a fair contract?
Whatever he was asking for last year, at least probably $14 million. Or a top 10 safety. He needs to be in that top 10 safety.
All right, AJ, thanks for the call, man. Would you go, Trey, $14
million? What?
He's about 11 or $12 million. $10 million last year.
He was like 10 point. Yeah.
10.3 last year, and I think with the playoff bonus, I think he got it up to 12. But
Landon Collins and Honey Badgers had to ruin the market.
Yeah, pretty much. But you can't help that, and we're screwed as far as that concerned. I'm not doing a 2 year deal for Malcolm Jenkins. I'm not doing anything three years, anything like that. I don't even feel good about a second year. I want to just guarantee the money he has now, but apparently that's worn out its welcome.
Huh? Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. But and then he does so much.
He does everything. Everything.
Everything.
Special teams.
He was at 99. What 90 some percent of all the snaps this year?
Yeah, exactly.
Is he good at it though? I'm not. Look, I'm not down on Malcolm.
Right.
I'm just asking. He played all those plays. Did he play them well? Well enough to warrant a contract like that.
With Nigel Bradham gone, he kind of plays that almost linebacker-ish type position now. Maybe you just draft a younger safety and kind of have him play just a roving position, more or less.
Mm. Yeah, he's...
I don't know.
No offensive coordinator this year, and no middle linebacker. Malcolm Jenkins is going to fill that role, too. the Eagles are just going to delegate the positions to different people.
They're definitely going to be drafting a safety, regardless of if he's back or not.
Yes.
It's going to be... There's a lot of moves with trickle-down effects on this roster right now.
But to answer your question, if he played it well, I don't think so at the beginning of the season. Towards the end, he started turning it on.
Yeah.
But, there were some moments at the beginning of the season, you're like, I don't know.
One of the things that the All or Nothing did, the series All or Nothing on Amazon, it highlighted that Minnesota game, as it did every game, but you could hear Malcolm Jenkins on the field. And just as he did after the game, on the field, he said, that was me. That's me. He wasn't in deep coverage there where he was supposed to be. He came up on that route. So you hear that the guy does take accountability on the field. It was also funny that one of the guys he was saying that to was Orlando Scandrick, who was like, yeah, that guy doesn't take responsibility for himself. He did.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't make it any better, really.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.